You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
Your Lord, your King, your All is a big little word. It's a word that's easy to use, but it's possible that the only way a lone human being can discover the full scope of that word is to look at the cross and ask Jesus to reveal himself and inform our pinhole perception. Since Adam and Eve fell for the percentage deal, there's been a permanent gap in our DNA that reduces human beings to never really being completely anything. The wholeness that was inherent in our original integration in an extension of the person of our designer was broken. We speak of whole this and completely that as if we have a clue, but we do not and cannot until reintegration. Integration with our Creator means we are given access to the blueprints of His design for us, and the understanding needed to begin the process of reconnecting circuits that have been broken for 6,000 years. Each circuit reactivated is territory that's been either left empty and fallow or occupied by minions of the rebellion against our designer, but will now begin to light up with the whole life of His reality. Yes, our Father is awesome. He is one, complete, whole, and everything in His world is perfectly orchestrated, synchronized in the flowing continuity of His genius and His disposition. And we are no longer outside, unable to conceive His wholeness, but we are an integral part of it. And on our way to learning how to walk with Him, in Him, I am on my way to being whole and complete because He produces, shares, and is all my life.
I was driving the other day and I was just thinking, I'm so glad this is happening to me because I've learned so much, I feel like, about the Lord in the last 2 to 3 months, just about His sovereign hand, which I really didn't even think about before, just that He is Lord over all. So He's very detailed about our lives.
Right.
If you understand that and recognize that He's the Lord over all and He's a detailed God, then I am fine, type of thing.
Right, and we're just one little mechanism in the whole scheme that He's orchestrating. Thank you so much for this time, Lord. Thank you for bringing Sarah safely. Thank you for answering that prayer that we had earlier this morning. And that this day is yours, that you have orchestrated it and planned every moment of it. We thank you for making that so apparent and obvious. And now, Lord, as Terry and Sarah just simply talk about you and talk about your sovereignty and how you truly do have a plan for every step that we take. I pray that you just cause your peace to fill this room and give Terry a role, heart of conversation leading, and just anoint everything that's said and done for your glory. And we thank you for anointing it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for...
I'm so glad you're here today.
I am so happy to be here.
And I'm very excited because of what I'm hearing you say. Before I go any further, my guest today is Sarah Denham. Mm. And I'm so very happy to have her with me because I've known you, Sarah, since before you can remember.
Gosh, I know. It's so wild.
And it's very special to sit here across from you and to hear you talking about discovery in this walk with Jesus that is really being pressed upon all those who not just claim to be His, but who have signed the contract 100%. And I know you did that. I could tell that very early on. I know your parents taught you how to do that. What a heritage that is. That was my heritage, and I'm sitting here today with my sanity in me. Jesus is my sanity because of that heritage, because I got to know His voice early on. Say something so that everybody can hear your voice and say hello.
Well, hello, and it is an honor to be here with you in this room. It's a wonderful history. I remember you and Nancy coming up to my dad's church at such a young age, and I was so inspired by your talent, but also your warmth and your love and your graciousness. So to me, it's a thrill to be sitting here all these years later, and by the grace of God, to for that I know Him and that He is my Lord, and we can relish in the Lord's beauty together, His mystery, and just the beauty of the Lord, and we can rejoice in the Lord together and and converse, and that's really special, and it's a blessing in life to know people that know the Lord and walk with Him. So I'm honored to be here with you, and I'm excited for this.
Yeah, me too. Now, before you were at, I mean, our personal encounter happened at Murrieta. You were at the Bible college, Bible school, whatever they call it.
I would say Bible school. That's probably more of the best.
It's kind of a marriage thing. It's a setup for people to get married, basically. But some
this
people...
This didn't work for me.
Thank God.
I know.
Because I saw the options you had.
I know. There's a lot of sweet, godly girls.
I didn't mean that, guys. Any of you that's listening. I was just joking. But Sarah's very special, and at that point, I realized how serious you were about your walk with the Lord, as well as the gift of music that the Lord has given you, which is basically a language that the Lord gives so that we can say things in a very concise way that would take volumes and books to actually explain. And it goes right into the heart of the listener, which the music language is basically, I've discovered, heart-to-heart communication.
Yeah.
And it goes right straight from one heart to another. Mm. If it comes out of a real experience, it has that penetrating power. Before Murrieta, give me a synopsis of what happened before that. I know that's a long period of time.
I started really getting involved in the church and in the music side of church when I was 16. So for 2 years was on a worship team, just as a vocalist. And then I went to the Bible college when I was 18, and I think we connected my second semester, so I was 19 at the time. And right after that, I actually left the semester back up to my dad's church to take over the music department. But what's more exciting, and which I want to touch on, is I actually, which you don't know this, I went back home and I was leading worship on staff for like a year and a half, and there was a lot of things that I was seeing in the church that were just bumming me out, just the heart of man. I didn't understand God. I wasn't really understanding why bad things were happening to good people, and I was getting discouraged watching my parents deal with just slander and just awful human nature. And I felt my heart just kind of start to become bitter to God because I didn't really understand Him. I loved Him. I believed in Jesus, and I wanted to serve Him. I knew He was the Savior of the world.
But this didn't look like what you just thought He was
Yeah, because I grew up in such a wonderful home. So I never really saw pain. I never experienced it, and I had a wonderful childhood. So I was just seeing evil, real evil. So at that point, I remember just waking up in the middle of the night, just crying and just sad, like, Lord, why this, why this? And I just need to get away. Where should I go? I thought maybe I should go back to the Bible college out of the country. You know, I just thought about Jerusalem, and I've always loved Israel. So long story short, we have a friend who owns a home in Jerusalem. So in December of 2010, I packed up my bag and by myself went to Jerusalem.
Wow.
And
that's great.
Yeah, it was the greatest thing I could have ever done. I had no idea. People were like, why are you going? And I was just like, well, and I really didn't even have an answer. But I thought, I've always loved Israel. This opportunity has arisen. So I took a little baby Taylor guitar and one suitcase, and I lived in this beautiful home in the heart of Jerusalem for two and a half months, and teamed up with an organization and would go help Holocaust survivors and just love on them 2 times a week. So a majority of the time that I was in Israel, it was free time. So in the morning, I'd wake up and grab my Bible journal, and I'd just venture into the city. And it was the greatest thing I think I could have ever done, because in that period of time, that's when the Lord really captured my heart. That's when I really discovered the Lord and just felt Him, felt His presence every day. I mean, I was alone. I'm 20 years old, female, walking around. and you feel the Lord. And it's in Israel is magical anyway. You know, it's like it's wonderful
it is.
Place. It's the Lord's land. So,
that's a dream for most people to just go there by themselves and just be there and walk around.
I know.
It wow.
It was incredible. So that's where the Lord really laid on my heart, a heart for a music ministry. And what does that really mean? That's kind of a broad term, a music ministry. But I believe that there's so much power in communicating God's simple truth of the Bible through music and melody.
Yeah.
And it's something that I will aspire to, because I've seen God's word through music penetrate the heart. And
yes.
I believe in it. God moves through music. And so when I was there, I just wrote, and it wrote songs, and they started out really depressing, because I was going through this process of life, and now I look back at those songs and I think, oh my gosh, like I don't know, like no one should ever hear this stuff. But then they started to become joyful and just about the Lord. So that was a wonderful time in my life.
Okay, well, I just heard your EP.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of those songs coming out of that time in Jerusalem?
All of those songs came from Jerusalem, except for one, which I wrote after the Sandy Hook elementary school shooting. So the first one on the EP, which is called Gonna Be All Right, was a special song because I was lost on Christmas Day in Jerusalem. And no one celebrates Christmas over there, because number one, it's like totally
Hanukkah
American.
Hanukkah was already over.
Yeah,
right?
Hanukkah's over. It's American. They think it's stupid. They think Santa Claus is stupid. And then also they don't believe in Jesus. Which, so I would try to explain, well, I know it is kind of a silly holiday, but, you know, for me, it's like, you saw I celebrate Jesus' birthday. And they would just stare at me like, you are so stupid.
Yeah.
So anyway, on Christmas,
there's nothing like a Jew looking at you and saying, you're stupid.
I know.
There's nothing else like that.
I know, you just feel like, it's like, okay, I'm sorry, you don't understand.
I know I am, but
I know, it's just like, respect this or something.
Yes.
So Christmas was on a Saturday, which is Shabbat in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So Shabbat is when all of Israel, or the Jewish culture, they rest. It's their day of rest. So the streets of Jerusalem are completely quiet. It's like the craziest thing.
And evening.
Until evening. So I thought, what am I going to, like, I'm by myself. No one wants to celebrate with me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what, I'll go to a Christian church that I know is 3 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked there, and I had the wrong address, and I didn't, you know, like I didn't have my iPhone over there. I just have like a little Nokia phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't like Google it, or like once you're like abandoned. So I'm like ringing on this doorbell, and this homeless man, you know, he's coming up, and I'm on the outskirts of Jerusalem. So I've never been there. I just like there's no one around. It's very eerie. And I thought, oh my goodness, like no one's here. I'm going to have to walk home. And I was so looking forward to having some sort of fellowship on Christmas. So I turn around and I walk home, and I just started crying. And I'm like, I am so bummed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I am lost. I have no fellowship. I am scared. I was scared at that point. And then this melody came up, and I started singing, and I thought, oh, this is kind of a cool melody. So wrote it down, and anyway, so it's called Gonna Be All Right.
Stumbling all around, searching for solid ground to see what you have for me. Lost in the way of this beautiful race, and all I know is that you think of me.
be all right is not for me. I found a hotel that was serving coffee, so I stopped in at the hotel. So that's like the only things open on Shabbat. And while I was in Israel, I had a list of maybe about 5 to 6 people that I would pray for every day, people that were really going through it in life. One of the gentlemen who lost his wife of 14 years to breast cancer. Another one, a wife, her husband abandoned them, was, you know, committing adultery. These are all people in my dad's church. One just out of a job for years, and she was depressed, and she's single. Her son wanted to commit suicide. So there was all these people that I had on my heart in Israel. And so when I was walking out of the hotel, I was like, I don't have a chorus for the song. And I thought, what's the most encouraging thing you can say to somebody who's really going through it in life, you know, but knows the Lord? And it's, you know, it's a question, they're kind of on this journey, questioning the Lord or wanting him to reveal himself to them in their despair, which he always does. But I thought, well, I would say to somebody, it's going to be all right, because it is going to be all right. We have the ultimate hope, and the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us.
Yeah.
He's always open to communicate. He's has his hand on us. So in life, it really is going to be okay. And, people experience a lot of pain, and I have a lot of empathy towards that. So anyway, that's what this song kind of turned into.
If you step back and just say, okay, let me see what you're seeing, Lord, then you see things just gel. I mean, they just come together because it's all a continuity to him. It's not broken up. The continuity of life is what you gain by getting the panorama of Scripture and then walking through your own life with that gracious and able and creative hand of God. When you're lost, or when your husband abandons you, if we don't have that continuity in view, how would we know how to handle it? We can't handle it. There's no way. That's why we fall apart. But really, the beautiful thing is that the hardest stuff is actually a vote of confidence from the Lord, who I belong to. He's saying, okay, my investment in Sarah is deep and wide enough, and it's pure enough that I can just back up and watch how she's going to handle this situation or this situation in somebody else. How is it going to affect her? And that's what he's doing. That's what this life is all about. I'm totally convinced that this life is not the main event, obviously. It's a qualifying stage. And the one thing that matters is God gave you a choice. What will you do with that? When everything is good, it's easy to see that. But when things are bad in our perspective, then that's really the test, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. And I think something I'm learning, I mean, I'm 23, so I haven't lived a long life, but I've observed people. I truly think that if you grab hold to the Lord, obviously, but more so if you view life as, okay, we're on this journey with the Lord, and the Lord is always with us, and it's just like this process, and there's ups and downs, and the Lord is with you through it all, then I think that's like a secret. And to really, and through the journey with the Lord and viewing it as a journey, and when we really grab hold to his word, and practice it, apply it, choose to apply his word to our life, choose to pursue him. He never stops chasing us, but like, are we chasing the Lord? Are we seeking him? Are we desiring more of him? And he's so faithful to meet us when we do that. And just seeing my peers at this age of my life who aren't choosing to pursue the Lord and aren't choosing to walk with him, it's just so sad, and it's just such you see your life, this is going this way, and your life could just be this if you choose to turn to the Lord.
We'll be right back after this.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
Just connect the dots. Yes, yeah. You need Jesus right now, and you need to follow Him, and you need to read your Bible. And I know it's a cliche thing, like read your Bible, but oh my goodness, this past 3 months, I have just been relishing in the Word of God. And I've heard it all my life, you know, read your Bible, you know, and I would have devotional books, but oh my goodness, there's so much richness and life and wisdom in the Word of God that just, it is there for a reason. And my heart is to see more of my peers just on fire for the Lord and pursuing Him in practice.
That's Jesus' definition of genuine worship in spirit and in truth. That simply means to intend to do it, but to also do it.
Mm.
Not just talk and sing about it, but to actually be a genuine worshiper, the one who makes a habit of every time they hear Jesus' voice, they turn wherever they are and come toward Him no matter what they have to leave behind.
Mm.
And I hear you telling the story of a life that has become that.
Mm.
And I think what you're doing is a key that the Lord is putting into that engine of the genuine worshipers that will open them up and incite them.
Mm-hmm.
To live this life openly so that all in one package, when you do it out loud, you've got accountability
mm-hmm.
because somebody heard you say this to Jesus, and you've got companionship. You've got a family moving with you through those thresholds that will walk with you when you're tempted to go back or when you're confused about how it works, and you've got the help of the family. That's how a body works. I didn't mean to preach, but you got me going.
Amen.
I think my favorites are changing on your EP, but my initial first favorite was Love Rescue.
Okay, well.
Can you do that?
Yes.
It's so interesting that you say this is your favorite, because it was my dad's favorite, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
I know. I'm glad you say that, because some people don't understand. It's about the rapture, you know, just how it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like,
it didn't take me long.
Okay, the producer's mother was like, she was like, I love this song or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, like, I just love thinking of the rapture as, like, he's coming to rescue us in such a loving way. And she's like, oh.
Oh, that's
like,
what
that's
it's
the, awesome.
Going to be good.
Beautiful beyond what you'll ever know. Fix your eyes, he'll come and get you like a thief in the night. Cause it's a love rescue, it's a love, love rescue. Love rescue, it's a love, love rescue. Love rescue, it's a love, love rescue. And he's coming, yeah, he's coming, coming to take you away.
Yeah, hallelujah.
See him now, I can see him coming through the clouds. His eyes will see beautiful bride destined to be. Cause it's a love rescue, it's a love, love rescue. Love rescue, it's a love, love rescue. Love rescue, it's a love, love rescue. And he's coming, yeah, he's coming, coming to take you away.
Concept.
I know, something to rejoice in.
Now, do you remember when I did that chapel? Mm-hmm. It was actually the first chapel of the semester.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of doing that was to kind of bulldoze some of the traditional ideas. Traditional now, I mean, we've made our own tradition now about the music of church. Mm. And all of that. And we call it worship, but actually it's music. And when music is happening, something's being worshipped, but not necessarily Jesus. You know what I mean? Music can be a worship of music. And I hear a lot of that these days because of the commerciality of the industry. When the pioneers of the Jesus music and all of that began, most of the real well-known musicians actually left the record business to sing for Jesus.
Mm.
And so now it's turned around, and that's the reason the big crowd of us did a DVD set called First Love.
Mm.
Because we wanted the new generation to understand, even though they're in this cloud of commercial marketing, that pervaded the secular music industry. And after the initial late 60s and 70s being so purely intentional about the Lord, it suddenly, when I began, they started saying, well, what we can do here is we can cross over.
Mm.
And so many people started crossing over or attempting to. But the point that I'm making is that the reversal of that marketing commerciality connected with music became that for the church.
Mm.
And that's the way it is now. Because, let's face it, the worship teams are performers.
Yeah.
They're performers, and that doesn't mean it's bad. That just means that they're intentional about their music, and they want to do it right. And there's a whole lot of things that I could talk about in that field. But if you remember that session that I did, it was basically the focus was to get us back to the conversation with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that out loud expression personally to him, not about him to everybody else, but that intimate conversation of doing business with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I handed you everything that everybody said that
yeah.
day. And I handed you those sheets, and a few volunteers, very mm-hmm. courageous people, you were one of them, accepted the challenge to go away and write a song together.
Mm-hmm.
First, there's a challenge to work together
mm-hmm.
with artist types that don't normally play well with the other children. But that's a natural thing because it's a territorial kind of mentality that takes over. So first of all, that was challenged.
Mm-hmm.
But then the challenge was to find the core of what we as a gathering of believers said to Jesus that day. And to understand that is the new song that David was talking about and that's talked about in Scripture. It's what we're saying to him in response to what he said to us today. And so I hear very present conversations with the Lord and responses to his revelation in your songs. So that's an intimate relationship and conversation with the Lord that's being exposed. And that's what gives it the power to penetrate. Now, when that happened, I learned a very valuable lesson. Don't hand it to them and say, you go do it afterwards. But we'll take a break.
Yeah.
This is what we do now. We take a break and you write the song during the break.
Yeah,
and you come back and we're all going to sing it because it's our new song today.
Yeah.
So I learned that lesson that day
yeah.
because I never heard the song. It's more valuable to see and to hear
mm-hmm.
basically the product of that day, not because I incited you to go that direction, but I was part of the Lord's personal attention to you that is now bearing fruit in the conversations that you've had with the Lord. That is the worship, because first it's for his ears only.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's ready, when he thinks you're ready, then he goes, oh, here's a melody for that, like he did in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he works with us. With others, it's here's the plan for that building project that I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's the line drawing for this painting that I want you to paint.
Mm.
You know, he designed us, so he knows exactly what will trigger us and what will incite us to be productive and to bring his creativity through to the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear you, and I think it'd be very constructive for those listening. I mean, they've heard a couple of your songs now, and I hope they will go to iTunes and get your EP and follow you and get to know you because of the value of who you are in him. You're really a treasure.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope that those listening will catch that and will take advantage of this resource that God is providing them through a living, breathing human being that has him as the core. Because he designed you to be his expression in this very unique and very specific way.
Mm.
And we only become that, fully that, as we lose ourselves and gain who he is. Because who he is for us is who we really are.
Mm.
Anyway, that is such a beautiful thing that the Lord has done. And it's the beginning of the fulfillment of his plan, his plan of grace. To show his glory, to give his glory to a physical world through physical body parts, his own body parts. And you're one of them, and you're functioning well in that. And you've already said that you're discovering new things every day as you practice what he's shown you the day before. But can you crack that open a little bit? Can you unwrap some more of that conversational interaction with the Lord, especially as it relates to when he begins to say, okay, let's make this out loud. Let's make this public, because I got a few people this is targeted for. So I don't know if you even understand. I'm speaking English, I know, but but I know that to most people, they would freak out and go, I don't want to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what you mean. This has been an ongoing wrestling match for me and a challenge that the Lord has given me, because we have a whole generation, maybe a couple of generations now, that don't have the roots that we have in the understanding of those words.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to realize that they need flesh on those general things, like a work of the Spirit, like choosing Jesus. Well, what does that mean? What did that mean in that specific situation? And I'm passing this challenge on to you, because I think in the process of us addressing the challenge, he gives us new vocabulary.
Mm,
and I've found that to be a big plus when it comes to this communication, this out loud thing, because most of Christian music is all cliche.
Mm-hmm.
It's all generalized cliches. And Jesus never used one cliche. He was always speaking directly. And right now, you're 23. And in so many ways, Sarah, you're about to wake up. You're about to become a conscious human being. And in that process, you'll either hold on to those things or you'll allow him to make them new and fresh, so that he can speak through you to those that he wants to give you to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a challenge for all of us, because we've got the baggage.
Mm-hmm.
We not only got the baggage, we've got what golfers call muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way we've always done it, so it's hard not to do it that way. And it's hard not to use the cliches. And the hard thing is what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go, okay, what did I actually do? And you've explained some of it, and I understood what you said, but to the 18-year-old that just came to the Lord or is being drawn to the Lord, that generation is, they are rabid about authenticity. They will not put up with just cliches and generalizations.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even listen to you if you're talking that way. They probably won't even listen to you anyway. But if Jesus is speaking, he will have the keys. And I think he's giving those to you in the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just the words. It's obviously the music is the powerful ingredient that wraps it up and jams it down into your brain, into your heart. And I've talked way too much, but I wanted you to understand a little bit more about what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to answer things in the cliches that nobody really understands anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people who grew up with them don't understand them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't even understand what you mean when you say love anymore.
Mm.
They don't understand what you mean when you say worship. They think it's singing songs together in church or sitting there watching the band play in church. And obviously, that wasn't the original thought. And getting to the original is the goal. Jesus is the original.
Mm-hmm.
You've already said that in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Now our opportunity is to example that, exhibit that, practice it out loud so that the process gets cumulative. And on the way, he gives us the people who go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. That's what I need to do. That's the key to this understanding of giving my heart to Jesus. He's done it with me over and over again. And if I just go and fall at the Lord's feet and go, Lord, I don't know how to, I feel your love for this guy, and I do not want to give him warmed over junk that is not personal from you. So show me what's personal. And to practice it now, I would just say take a scenario of some pivotal moment, and it doesn't have to have turned into a song, but just take that and kind of take it apart a little bit. as to what the movement was that you made, what your initial reaction to it was. And honest, being honest exposes those things. And we're not used to that, are we?
Mm-hmm.
We're not honest. Very used to that. I mean, brutally transparent and honest.
I will say this briefly when you said, you know, what would you say to an 18-year-old who doesn't understand our lingo or doesn't understand life and wants to? I would say you are part of something bigger than yourself. There's something bigger going on, which is maybe too broad of a term for that individual who's searching. But life is a journey with the Lord guiding our life, meaning He knows your ways and He has a plan. He understands you. He created you. He's the greatest designer ever. So when you recognize Him as the God of the universe and that you're part of something that is bigger, His plan, then grab hold to that and then just live life with the Lord and go on a journey with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And He will be so gracious to help that person understand life when you're walking with Him, meaning you're choosing, shifting your thoughts to pursue, chase God's truth,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, when you are chasing Him.
Take, for example, that moment when you were in Jerusalem and
yeah.
you were walking around, you realized you were lost,
uh-huh.
and you realized that you were starting to get scared.
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's an honest
yeah.
statement. Can you break into the personal conversation that you were having with the Lord, the interaction that you were having with
well,
Him?
Well, I remember thinking, okay, I have to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm scared. I'm alone. So I just started walking. I was crying. So I was kind of going through a process of feeling really alone. Then I had a melody, so I jotted down some lyrics. But then I thought, I can crumble under this. Walk home, go sit in my room on Christmas and just be woe is me, pouty,
mm-hmm.
like, why did I come here?
Yeah.
Or the reality hit me, I'm in Jerusalem on Christmas, 10 miles away from where Jesus was born.
Yeah.
And so I can shift over to that amazing reality and be thankful and try to enjoy the day. So it was kind of a mental shift over. And
yeah.
I think pivotal moments in my life, because I do feel things so deeply, I really have to grab hold of my thoughts and
mm-hmm.
try to do the best thing that I can do. Because,
yeah.
And you know, there's times where you don't do the best thing, but you have to kind of step back and be like, there's one or two things I can do. And especially before I went to Israel, I mean, I was growing
yes.
bitter to the Lord. And
yeah.
that's growing up in such a godly family. Like, you don't mm-hmm. want to walk away from the Lord because you know it's true. You
yeah.
know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. So in your heart, you know truth, but you don't really understand it in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to step back and understand, okay, I'm in this place. I am searching. I'm mad. I'm angry. I can either go down a horrible road and
mm-hmm.
try to just do this on my own and take
get
control
really
and be
bitter.
Like, well, God, why this? Why are my parents hurting so bad? Why God, which is such a horrible, you know, it's like a horrible thing to ask why God. But it's a process. Everyone has to go through it. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to try to take the best road here. Like, and, you know, it was the leading of the Lord now looking back
yeah.
at it. But at that time, I mm-hmm. didn't really understand that.
Yeah.
I just was thinking, what's the best thing I can do to keep me going?
Mm-hmm.
And it was to go away and to go on a little journey. And
yes.
I didn't really even understand why I was
mm-hmm.
or what I was going to do or what would come out of it. I had no intention of writing music or
no.
It was just like I thought this it's better than destroying my heart or
mm-hmm.
Turning away from God, who I know is true. What I do appreciate about the Lord is He loves our honesty.
Absolutely.
He wants us to be honest with Him and open and conversing. He's our friend. So there's beauty and there's safety in
yes.
honesty with the Lord because
yeah.
He's so loving and kind and gracious and wise, and He's our great counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I have practiced in pivotal moments. It's being honest with the Lord. Like, this is how I'm feeling, Lord. I'm
yeah.
feeling scared. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling like I'm becoming bitter, and I don't want to. So can you help me? Like,
that's
help
reality
me.
Right
yeah,
there.
Like, help me through this because I know who you are. I know you can save me, redeem, bring new life, and I believe and trust and have faith in you. And those are all the cliches, but let's just be real. So I think have being honest with the Lord. I love in 1 Samuel when Hannah, she's going to the temple and she's crying, she's weeping because she wants to have a baby. And she's just so expressive and emotional. She is just crying out to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love how it says, you know, she stood up, she wiped her face, and she went home. The Lord wants us to just go to Him and express and be real and cry out, lay it at His feet, and just be like, here it is, Lord. And so I'm going to just give this to you.
Yes.
You know that I am hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And you are God. And then just turning around and being like, I trust Him. So here I go.
There's a few songs right there.
I know.
I'm really looking forward to following the rest of this story, watching your life. I pray God's big blessings on you as you continue to practice these conversations, to be engaged intimately and actively and intentionally in this conversation with Him. Because it's got a great ending, but it's got a great middle too.
Yes.
As we just enjoy Him. Thanks for being with me today,
Sarah.
Thank you
so much. It was an honor to sit here and chat. I thoroughly enjoyed it, so thank you.
Me too. More songs, please. God bless you. The music you hear me sing on Terry Clark and Friends can be found at our website, catalystpeople.com, C-A-T-A-L-Y-S-T, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come visit us soon.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com, or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring